I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would meet with us, feel very needy of the anointing and presence of the Lord and the Word of God this morning. Every time I preach or share a message, I'm taking my portion, not just before I preach it, but during it and after it. And we have been in a revival meeting, and the message the Lord has been dealing with me about is a very pastoral message. So it's going to be a little U-turn from where we've been the last week. It's a place for instruction. It's a place for some information. It's a place for maybe some correction. It's a place that I would that the Lord help each one of us individually. And the only person I can really make a difference is in my own life. And I say, Lord, help me. And have you all heard, I'd like to start with sharing something with you. How many of you all remember hearing the story about the woman years ago? Some of you children, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but about the woman that spilled McDonald's coffee. You remember hearing about that? You remember what she won? She sued McDonald's. You remember how much she won? $3 million because the coffee was hot. She won $3 million. Now, how many of you all think that sounds a little crazy? I'm going to ask you that again in a few minutes. This woman was in McDonald's and she spilled hot coffee on her. She sued McDonald's and the verdict was $3 million. That sounds crazy. I heard about that. I've heard it for years and I've thought about it different times. You look at, and not that I was getting coffee, but hot chocolate, and you see on their cups, it says, what does it say? Very hot. All right. It's like, well, of course. That's what coffee is supposed to be, is hot, right? I'm not advocating coffee, or y'all understand, but very hot. It's supposed to be hot, and you're going to sue McDonald's, and you win, and you think, frivolous lawsuit. Frivolous lawsuit. Well, let me share a little bit more information with you. Number one, do you all realize that the media does not always tell you everything? They don't always tell the whole story. This was a woman who was 79 years old. She was 79 years old. She had stopped at McDonald's and got some coffee. And she was sitting in her car. I believe her grandson was in the driver's seat. So she wasn't doing something else. She was sitting in the passenger seat and the car was parked in the parking lot. They were not moving. It wasn't like there was jostling going on. And she tried to get the lid off, I'm assuming, to put stuff in it, sugar or whatever you do. And she took that lid off, and you know how those hot cups, the lid sometimes, they can pop? They can kind of jostle off, and it did that, and that coffee splashed out, and it fell into her lap. This is a 79-year-old lady. It burned her severely. She was in the hospital for 6 days. They had to do skin grafts on her. You see, she was 79 years old. She had not been moving. The coffee was hot. It burned her all over. Spilled in her lap. She had to have skin grafts. She was hospitalized. She did have health insurance. You may say, where does this apply spiritually? We're getting there. She was in the hospital. She did have health insurance, but for her health insurance didn't cover it all. And she was left with $20,000 that the insurance did not pay. It was probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know how much it cost for what she went through. But she was left with $20,000. She didn't have the money. And so she went to McDonald's, told them what happened, and said, could you give me the $20,000 to make up the difference to finish paying the hospital off? You know what McDonald's says? No. And so she got a lie. And the lawyer, as lawyers began to do, to investigate, as they sued McDonald's, the purpose was to pay $20,000. Seemed like a reasonable request. But he began to find out even more information. Because when you sue, you have subpoena power. And you can get into the corporate records and start to see what's going on. Found out that McDonald's had done some marketing. And they wanted to sell as much coffee as they could. Now, I don't know how McDonald's is doing now. This was, you know, a number of years ago that this happened. But McDonald's said, if you sell good coffee, people will come. Seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? They said you can get the Egg McMuffins and all that stuff with it, but if there's good coffee, they'll come. So how do you get good coffee? Well, you got two choices. This is what their research showed. Number one, you can get good coffee, or you can get bad coffee and heat it to extreme temperatures, and people won't know the difference, and they'll think it's good coffee. And if y'all go home and say, Brother Michael, preach about coffee, I'm sorry. But they said that were the two options. And they said, we can, and so what McDonald's did is, we're not going to serve good coffee. You know, that would be too easy. Be too much. We're not going to pay for good coffee, so we'll heat our coffee up. And this is what their marketing did. This is what their research showed. Normal coffee, hot coffee, is served at 110 degrees. McDonald's was serving their coffee at 180 to 190 degrees. Because it's so hot, you don't know whether it's good or not. You can't tell the difference. But what 180 degree liquid does, it burns human skin on contact. And so it's more than just hot. When you got McDonald's, used to, when people got McDonald's coffee, you'd be wanting to wear a spacesuit or something, knowing that if I spill it, it's going to burn me and it's going to take my skin off. And so what else they found out was, in the records, that McDonald's had already had over 200 people write them and tell them that they had been hospitalized for at least one day because of burns from the coffee. This is the background. And so then the lawyer told the jury, he said, we need to send a message. They knew what they were doing. 180 to 190 degrees, 70 degrees difference from a normal hot coffee. And he said, we need to send a message. Do you know, and this was years ago, McDonald's was making a profit on their coffee sales of $1.2 million a day on coffee alone. And so the lawyer said, they knew this, we need to send a message to the corporate McDonald's. They can't do this kind of thing. And he said, so let's take 3 days of profit. See, $3 million? That was only 3 days of profit from this enormous corporation just on sales of coffee. Because that's what the lawsuit was about. And so the jury came back and they awarded $3 million. Now I have a question for you. How many of you all think that that was crazy? I have driven through McDonald's numerous times for my sausage egg McMuffin. And I thought about that woman. I thought, people are just, they're so Sue happy. It's just, you know, these frivolous lawsuits. Do you think that was frivolous now? Does anybody, who thinks that still, who do you think that was a crazy verdict? Anybody? There's one. You were out. We'll talk to you after service. That's your problem. I love you, brother. But do you see what made you change? Those of you that thought it was crazy to start with, what made you change? The facts, more information. So how does this apply to us spiritually now? We look and we hear things. I heard such and such. I heard that this lady won $3 million because she spilled some coffee. Of course coffee's hot. There's a whole lot more going on that I didn't know until I heard this story. There's a whole lot you didn't know. And we changed our opinions, didn't we? My perspective of that's a whole lot different. And it didn't make me any fonder of McDonald's. You know what McDonald's, they hired a high-powered Wall Street marketing firm? To come out, a public relations firm rather, to kind of give an explanation. And their answer was, well, we just don't know how to make coffee hot. I knew cold. We just don't know how to make it cold. I know there was one suggestion was set it by the fries because they're always cold. But the point being, and I digress, but understand what made us change our opinion was when we got more information. So what have you heard? Is that a fair question? This is pertinent, folks, to relationships. We are in a time right now that the enemy is battling hard to drive wedges in relationships. What have you heard? Where did you get your opinion from? Do you really have all the facts? Have you talked to everybody involved, or where is your source? Have you sat down? Maybe you need to go to McDonald's and have Post and together. Maybe you need to go have milk and donuts somewhere and sit down and talk about it. But where are you forming your opinions? Do you realize that the enemy, this affects relationships in people's homes. It affects relationships in the congregation here. It affects relationships in the body of Christ. And it affects relationships on your jobs and people you work with. Well, I heard such and such, and we are so human to be quick to form judgments. Because that's my perception. That's what I think. Well, let's see what the Word of God has to say about it. In the 18th chapter of Proverbs, we'll begin reading with verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He said, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seek knowledge." And then on down in the 17th verse it says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth and findeth him." He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it says to him it is folly. Do you realize this morning that there is a lot of folly? Because people are making assumptions and judgments that make lifetime differences in relationships because I heard. I heard. And the scripture says that's folly. A wise man seeketh out. A wise man, see, we made an instantaneous judgment about McDonald's, or about the lady that sued him. But I heard some more of the facts, and my opinion totally changed. Because now I see the other side. Many people give judgments on things before they hear the whole situation, and they express opinions before they know the whole truth. Have you ever been a place you thought you knew? I understand. I know. And you made opinions, you made judgments, and you don't even call it opinion at that point because I've got the facts. This is it. And then later on down the road, you find out more information or you realize that your perception of facts was a little bit different. How much damage is being caused among God's people because of this very thing? Is that a fair question? In your homes, in the congregation, in the body of Christ, folks, the devil is battling hard right now. Because I heard. What are we going to do with what we hear? A wise man seeketh out knowledge. He's not talking about being a busybody. He's not talking about going, "Well, no, I'm going to just go and act." If you don't know and it's not your job, then you need to commit those things to the Lord, and we need to go on with the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But if you are in a place that it is pertinent, then before we make decisions that will affect greatly God's people, before it affects your home, before it affects the congregation, keep your counsel, take it to the Lord, and go directly to those that are involved. And do not make assumptions based on what you heard. Because, see, there are always at least two sides to something, aren't there? Sometimes there's more than that. But usually there's at least two sides, and you know it makes a difference. And there are times that we deal with information that is given. But all of us, that's all we can deal with is with what information we have. But I also understand that God knows and understands all things. And as we grow and as we gain knowledge, it changes our perspective and it changes our understanding. And I wonder this morning how much damage. I look at history and look at the past and see how much damage has been done Because people made decisions on what they heard, and they were quick to answer a matter before they really knew everything that went on. The scripture says, he that answereth, in verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him out. Couple things I get from that. One is, have you ever noticed the first side you hear is a side you believe? Just in, to a certain extent, that doesn't always hold true. But it's because we're influenceable. So if I would have heard from this lady about the coffee and her attorney, I would have said, oh, I understand. But if all I heard from the media and from McDonald's was frivolous lawsuit. Well, that's what I heard. And so that's what I assumed.
You know, he that answereth first in his cause seemeth just. But when it's searched out, it's found it's really maybe not that way. It's contrasting the peacemaker with the misinformed here, or with the talebearer. It's drawing an analogy here. It's not wisdom. It's not prudent. And it said here that people, I want to just get down to basics here. It's a caution about forming judgments about situations before we really know all facts. And folks, I want to speak frankly here this morning, at least in part. There's a lot of things the devil is battling the body of Christ in right now. It seems like that the last year, well, it's been more than that, but it seems like about everywhere we turn, the devil is battling. He's trying to undermine. He's trying to break fellowship. He's trying to break unity. He's trying to cause division. Some of it is a result of compromise that has to be dealt with. Some of it can be fanaticism. Some of it's wrong attitudes and some of it's wrong spirits. He's doing the same thing in people's homes. He's trying to split up homes. He's trying to cause division. And he's trying to do the same thing in congregations. And my caution to us this morning is, be careful. Are we going to let the enemy take advantage? Because this is my perception, and I'm going to act on my perception rather than acting on those things that the Lord leads us in with the right spirit, with the love of Christ, with the forgiveness of the Lord, with the long-suffering, with those that have fallen. The purpose is to restore. The purpose is to restore first. And if restoration can't happen, then there is a place of judgment and there is a place of cutting off. But there are too many things, too much activity this morning. It's going on, I'm going to say it again, in homes, in the congregation, and in the body of Christ. Too much activity going on based on, I heard. Lord, help me. Lord, help us to be careful about the judgments that we make because of our perceptions. Scripture says in Proverbs 17 and 9, it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth friends. See, transgression, we get back to what we've already talked about in the past few weeks ago. Love covers. See, it doesn't hide. It doesn't act like it's not there. But it deals with the situation from a foundation of, I really do love. I really do care. And so it's under that umbrella of love. It's not excusing transgression. Folks, in any of our dealings with people, if we operate under any other umbrella than that of love, we are in error. Doesn't matter what the facts are now. Now it comes down to the motivation. It comes down to the purpose. I have related, on the phone 2 times last night with ministers. I said, I remember when, I'm talking to us at home now, okay? I remember when there were those that left because of fanaticism.
And I remember as a young person, we were right in the middle of it. We grew up with them. We were right in the middle of that going on. And the last meeting we were in, we were driving away from that meeting, and my father told me, he said, "Children, we didn't talk about church problems. Parents, you want to talk about what you heard in front of your children? You want to talk about your judgments in front of your children? You have just given them things that they're going to believe it, because I heard Dad and Mom say. And when you find out the facts, it's going to be a little difficult. We'll go try to sit down with your children and try to say, okay, now what? There was more to it than be careful. Too many children are growing up with bitterness because of what they heard Mom and Dad say. So my dad said, "Children," he said, what these people are doing over here, he said, it's not right. He said, it's not right. But he said, if we do not have the love of God, he said, we're no better off. He said, we're just as wrong. Folks, even if we think we have the facts on our side, if we operate from anything other than a foundation of love, we have missed the mark. Anything in your relationships with your husband and your wife, in the relationships with your children, young or grown, in your relationships in this congregation, in the relationships in the body of Christ and on your jobs. See, it affects everybody. We may say, well, I've got the facts. But you know, a lot of times it's really more what we heard or what we perceive to be true. But even if we do, if we operate in under anything other than that umbrella of love, we can be the cause, it says here, of separating chief friends. People that were one time knit together in love. And now because of talk, because of operating outside of an umbrella of true love, dealing with people like I would want to be dealt with, we separate chief friends. You see where the devil works, folks? You see, this is where we live, though. Because, do you know, there's something about our humanity that gravitates towards negative information. Have you noticed that? If there's something bad happens, it'll spread like wildfire, even among the saints. Should that be? But if something good happens, oh, I didn't hear that. Well, I'm glad to finally hear that. When did that happen? Oh, 2 years ago. That problem was resolved. They got, well, thank the Lord. But something bad happens, it has a way of. So where is that going to stop? Who's going to stand up and say, Lord, I don't want to make judgments and perceptions based on, well, I heard. Are you willing to go down and sit down with the party? If it's not important enough to come and sit down with someone that's affected by it, if it's not important enough, then you better put it in the memory bank and give it to the Lord. James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, you remember the rest of it? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, in context, he's speaking here about listening to the word of God. Be swift to hear. Swift to hear God's word. But this is applicable to the discourse this morning. Let every man be swift to hear. He's not talking about being busy about, oh, I want to hear what's going on. You know, there are people like that. In the scripture says you study to be quiet. Do you know more problems are caused because of talk than probably about almost anything else? It just is. I mentioned a revival in a meeting one time. It was years and years ago. And I wish I knew what this sister thought today. But I said, I have yet to have someone come up and tell me I'm a busybody. There's a sister that stood up in the circle and said, that's me. Thank the Lord. I hope she had victory today. Too much talk. I heard. This is what I think. And what you think, and when you pass that information on to someone else, you have just formed their opinion to a large extent. And it takes a lot of other work to try for the Lord to try to undo what many times we can do when we start sharing our judgments and perceptions.
Do you see how vital this is, folks, in our families and in our homes? Amongst brothers and sisters? Between children and parents? It's important in the congregation? In the body of Christ? Well, I heard and I have my mind now the way it is. You know, that's not the whole story. There's more to it than that. My caution to us this morning is, let's be careful. Let's be very, very careful, because the devil, the enemy, would do all that he can to tear down unity in homes, in families, in the congregation, and in the body of Christ at large. So who's going to step up to the plate and say it's going to stop right here? I think I've shared here before. I remember someone coming to my father and saying, did you hear what you're talking about, a minister? Ministers get talked about probably more than about anybody else. Do you know that? It's part of the, what's the word I'm looking for? It's part of a job hazard. Came up and said, did you hear about brother so-and-so? My dad said, no, and I don't want to. Right on. How many of us have done that? I heard. We'll deal with that a little bit more later, Lord willing, not this morning. But be swift to hear. Be quick to be open to what's really at work. Again, not a busybody. Folks, we can't believe everything we hear. Do you know that? We can't believe everything we hear. And when you hear something, if you are in a personal position to trying to help someone or trying to listen to someone, then you operate on the parameters that they have given you to do that. But do you know, I'm very aware of the fact that I've talked to some people. Someone quite some time ago had come to us, and we knew they weren't telling us everything. And then they went to someone else and said that, and they came and told us. And I said, well, we knew that. But that's, you know, all we could do is talk to them about what they told us. I heard. You know, there's a danger of allowing, even if we have what we think we have, the facts, you know, there's a danger of allowing sentiment and sympathies to begin to, we try to fit the facts to where our sympathies and allegiances lie. Have you noticed that? That's just human, isn't it? That's human. We tend to change that. But do you know there are times that the facts can stare you in the face and people have still insisted that it's a different way? And I wonder, how can that happen? How can that be? It's because of sympathies. It's because of allegiances. And I want to encourage us this morning and challenge us, let's not allow our sentiments and our sympathies to take away from the truth, because it will hurt your relationships with people. Be sympathetic to people. Love people. Be compassionate to people. But do you know that's where we talk, you've heard the term church politics. I don't want to be part of that. But do you know that's partly where it comes from? It comes from operating outside of truth, or taking truth and manipulating it to sympathies. Manipulating it to sympathies. And families the same way. I thought about how, have you ever wanted to be validated in your opinion? I think probably all of us have, haven't we? You know, I can sit down with my family, I'm talking about my blood family, and I can sit down with them and my brother and sister and mom and dad and say, well, I heard such and such and this is what happened here, and we can come to an agreement that this is the way it is. I've just been validated because that's what I thought, and they agree with it, and they agree with it. That's the way it is. Well, you know what the problem with that is? They think like I think. They were raised like their personalities are like mine. See? And so, I mean, to an extent. There's common, there's some bonds there. There's allegiances there. There's sympathies there. And so then I can go away feeling validated. Because I talked to someone, I wasn't just going to go on what I thought, and I talked to someone, and that's the way it is. Be careful about that too. In your family, Because you know what happens among the saints? We're all pretty closely connected, aren't we? And we can say, well, I'm just talking to a family member. I talk to my brother, or I talk to my sister, and then your wife just talks to her brother and her sister and her parent, and then they talk to, and pretty soon, we're all just family, and I didn't really outspread it, but pretty soon everybody knows. Because I heard. And we can cause that to validate. That's what a mob, do you know what a mob mentality is? People validating an emotional decision based on some facts, but not all of them. There is a caution then that we do not allow personality differences, family differences, background. You can take the same thing with people in the South as a body and people in the North. There's different backgrounds. They came from some different traditions, even among the saints. And you can say the Northerners can get together and we can make some decisions and say that's how it is. That's crazy. And then those from the South are saying, wait, y'all, you just don't get it. Well, I still think they're wrong. But that was my opinion based on facts. But you know, they took the same facts and came to a different conclusion maybe. And I just use that illustration of different backgrounds, different societal cults, different culture. Because of background and different families and different cult, different personalities. And then we allow that to determine facts. And if we're not careful, we can use those things and we can destroy those that we once loved. We can destroy those that we one time had fellowship with. So what have you heard today? You know what Ezekiel did? When God gave him facts. God gave him facts. And he said, go and tell these people. This is the way it is. Ezekiel went and kept quiet for 7 days. Talking about a perfect amount of time. And he sat where they sat. And he tried to see from their perspective. He sat quietly. He didn't go in with a judgment or an opinion, but he sat quietly to try to understand it. Where might they be coming from? Maybe I'm looking at these facts a certain way, and maybe it's really not the way that I perceived it because of who I am, or who our family is, or who our congregation is, or our backgrounds. So let me sit where they sit. And then, when the Lord said go, then he began to share with God. I want to encourage us. Remember McDonald's? When you start hearing more, the facts, it changes. Be careful about forming your opinions and perceptions and judgments based on what you perceive to be the facts. There have been situations that people had an opinion and I could have given them the other side and I was bound not to. I couldn't tell. I couldn't say anything. And so guess what? Sometimes ministers get the bad rap too. I had a minister come to me, again, another one. I'm just talking, this is reality now. Had someone come to me very recently and said they were concerned some things would happen in the congregation of what other ministers might be hearing and concerned with everything. I said, you don't worry about it. Just let it go. I have confidence in you. I believe in you. And I believe others that are God's people will do that. But you see where this affects us on a daily basis? I heard. And once, even if we do have the facts, let's be careful that we don't fit those facts and determine and manipulate them to fit into personality differences and cultural differences and family differences, and then we form decisions based on those things. But we want to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, operating under the umbrella of the love of God. You pray for